Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Maybe we need to think about where it's appropriate to use digital devices. We have got that story, plus the great land grab hurricane FEMA conspiracy. But first, World ID humanness verification launches in Poland to help increase trust online. Why, yes, this is a corporate press release. World ID verification is launched in Poland, increasing access to important proof of humanness technology in Europe. Starting today, individuals can orb verify their world ID in the Polish capital of Warsaw, which I believe is where, you know, Kafka did a lot of his writing. This verified world ID will allow them to anonymously authenticate as a unique human in a growing number of online applications, often accompanied by rewards for helping businesses differentiate between real users and potential spam bots. It was all in Czechoslovakia. Sorry, correction on the Kafka. I saw your face. I remembered on my own. I just saw your correction. According to a 2023 study, Polish citizens are not only encountering AI-powered bots much more frequently online, but more often than not report these as negative experiences. Innovative solutions like World ID can help clearly differentiate between bots and humans online while preserving people's anonymity. More information on verification locations can be found in World App by visiting the WorldCoin website. The launch of WorldCoin verifications in Poland comes as WorldCoin's human-first technologies like World ID and World Chain have continued to grow worldwide. In addition to the launch of World ID verifications in Austria, WorldCoin achieved a new milestone in Asia by partnering with the Applied Research and Development Arm of the Malaysian government to bring digital proof of humanness to the country. WorldChain, the first blockchain designed to prioritize verified humans, has added new integrations and infrastructure partners, including Safe, Alchemy, Fireblocks, and other words I've never heard of as it nears mainnet launch. World ID, which was recently successfully extended from Ethereum to Solana, they've got all your hippest crypto coins, has seen its integrations grow as well. Verified World ID holders can now authenticate as unique humans on everything from social media and news platforms to Web3 gaming apps and, of course, the all-important online retailers. World ID introduced in Guatemala, Malaysia, Poland, launch comes at key moment for AI. In other related news, WorldCoin pivots away from Europe amid the tangle of GDPR problems. And yes, we did talk about staring into the orb for free money on this very show back in November of 2021. Gaze into the orb for free money. James, I can really see this appealing to the crowd that gets mystery syringe shots from strangers in parking lots.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. This is an example of what is, I think, probably going to be a theme in this episode, which is a real problem, I suppose, but with solutions that are no solution at all. And in this case, the real problem is proof of humanness. Because, yes, that is now a thing that we now have to take into account. Because, yes, there are bots and whatever that is posting all sorts of junk online. Ever heard of dead internet theory? Well, it's... if it wasn't true several years ago when that was first posited, it probably is increasingly true today. And so, yes, how do you know you're interacting with a real human being? Well, they've orb verified, which I'm sure Brock will be showing the B-roll of this, of people staring into the orb, as we covered on New World Next Week a few years ago. Yes, well, now they're pivoting away from the world coin aspect of it and the digital, hey, you can get this fake digital money for staring into the orb. They're trying to focus more on the world ID aspect of this. And as I say, a real problem, I suppose, but the solution doesn't seem to me to be a biometric database of facial recognition that will be stored by some creepy company that, hey, trust us, bro. And what is... It's good to, from time to time, I think our audience probably knows this, but it's good to remind ourselves of what the fundamental problem with this kind of biometric digital ID recognition system software is. And that is actually adequately explained in that article that we're citing here about WorldCoin pivots away from Europe because of the GDPR tangle, which makes you wonder, Poland is also part of Europe and the GDPR, so why is Poland on board? But anyway, in that article, they talk to someone who is running some sort of world ID competitor called Privado ID. It's an open source verification provider. Anyway, he makes an important point. Long-lasting reputation that is attached to your biometrics shows you that in the wrong hands, it could be a ban forever. It could be a mark forever in your life. You cannot detach yourself from that identifier. Every trace that you leave now is going to be there for the rest of your life. Every trust assumption that we make now will come back to us 10, 20 years later. Exactly right. This is a point. When we are starting to put ourselves into this digital biometric database matrix, we are trusting that not only are the people who are running and stewarding over this system now are perfect angels descended from heaven who would never use this in a bad way, but there will never, ever be any sort of tyrant or dictator or someone that we might want to rationally and for good reason resist, who would thereby have the ability to completely remove us from society, put that ban mark on us that we could never get rid of unless, I don't know, you start hacking up your face. This is the danger of this technology. Anyway, it's a good thing to keep in mind. I for one, am not staring into the orb. How about you, James?
Well, man, you're already, you know, coming up with new horror movie ideas. This will be done in the future to escape from the system. Or, and you don't even mention, what about those bad actors that are able to hack into the system, whether it's false flagged or real? But think about it. Their platforms, James, I don't know about you, but I didn't build any of these platforms. Their platforms are buggy. But rather than the ability to, I don't know, police and regulate their own platforms, we have to stare into the orb of phantasm that's going to stab us in the head. Whew, that's how we get going on New World Next Week, episode 567, our second story. Who wants to regulate smartphones? The World Health Organization wants to regulate smartphones, urging countries to regulate digital devices, including smartphones. I guess they really mean like pagers and beepers and stuff. The call comes in light of evidence that social media and problematic gaming behaviors are negatively affecting the mental health of young people. Natasha Azopardi-Muscat, WHO Europe's Director of Country Health Policies and Systems, told Politico that regulation is needed akin to tobacco. And if you recall, 4 out of 5 doctors smoke Camel cigarettes. Maybe we need to think about where it's appropriate to use digital devices, and maybe it's also time to start thinking about places where certain digital devices should not be used. And I remember a decade ago getting in giant trouble for daring to look up something we were talking about at a dinner table, and now those same folks are on their devices unapologetically. But I was a horrible ass for doing it back then. I was just guilty of doing it too soon, like I'm guilty of doing many things too soon. Muscat acknowledged the utility of smartphones, but said, "Caution is needed. We have a portion of the population who are reporting problematic use, and we know that this eventually can go on to affect their educational outcomes, their mental health and well-being, their productivity in the workforce." Last month, Ontario's Minister of Education, Stephen Lessay, announced a strict policy to limit cell phone use in schools. That sounds like a great idea. Lessay said the policy change was in response to concerns he'd heard from parents and teachers. Under the new rules, students in kindergarten to grade 6 must keep phones silent and out of sight all day, while grades 7 to 12 are not allowed to use phones during class unless permitted by a teacher. Ooh. Now do it to the boomers. It's unfortunate what happened to our parents. They essentially skipped 25 years of technological advancements as they came along. I was the one programming the VCR for them back in the day. They skipped 30 years of technological advances. Then it's like, here, use this space age tool that you have no idea the power of. The state loves to act like they're regulating their toothpaste once it's already out of their tube. And if I recall, I'm pretty sure the state approved fentanyl and opioids too. And those are working out great, James.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And boy, speaking of real problems with phony solutions, here we go. The World Health Organization is going to step in to start regulating smartphones on an international scale. How does that work? It's not a body with actual regulatory powers, right? Well, In fact, it's interesting that they put this in the context of tobacco and tobacco control, because as you may or may not know, I think most people don't know this, the first major international treaty that was negotiated under the auspices of the WHO was the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control back in 2003, which came into effect in 2005. And that put the pressure on WHO member states to start not only educating and labeling and whatever tobacco, but also bringing prices and taxation into line and other such things. And I don't know, this is anecdotal, but I can definitely say in the 20 years I've been in Japan, it's gone from an incredibly smoke-heavy society to one where it is, yeah, there are fewer and fewer and fewer spaces where people actually smoke now, and it's gone from a pervasive thing to a, well, a less pervasive thing. Is the WHO behind that? Well, anyway, that's the type of thing that they love to do with these international organizations, because, again, yes, tobacco and secondhand smoke, again, a problem that really exists in the real world, but they'll come along and they'll save us through some international treaty, because there's no possible way that we could do this without some sort of international body stepping in to do it for us, right? And look how successful they were with tobacco, so we can trust them regulating smartphones. And what do you bet that the infodemic gets taken up as part of the WHO's mandate, right? And all of the other nonsense that they're going to, oh, disinformation. We have to teach children how to look at only approved websites and all of that sort of stuff. It's the next wave of this type of regulatory control that the WHO is lusting after. And yes, again, as I say, this is a perfect encapsulation of that real problem with a phony solution, because probably the most effective PSYOP in human history has been the one that has been waged for centuries now to domesticate the human tax cattle into basically a population, a supine population of people who are always and forever looking to mummy or daddy government to step in and solve whatever problem exists. There's no possible way we could imagine how to teach children how to use technology responsibly ourselves. No, we must wait for government regulation to step in and do it for us. Oh, wait, no, that's a total lie. And unless we take personal responsibility for ourselves and our families, well, it's not going to be regulated in our favor. So if you want an example of how we could possibly think about this real problem without the phony solution, well, I have an idea for you. You could look up interview 1194 on CorbettReport.com, in which Larry Rosen gives practical advice on controlling your smartphone. So I've been talking about this for years. I think it is a real problem. I don't think that the government stepping in with regulation is the real solution to it.
James, I play what's called old-time radio as part of my Media Monarchy stream. I've always loved Golden Age radio from the 40s and 50s. So much of that is the cop show, the procedural show, and so much of what they talk about is these are true stories of how the police work to protect you. And I'm always talking back to it, being like, oh, because you've removed our desire and ability to be able to do anything for ourselves, I couldn't possibly protect myself, so I'm going to call and hope that the police show up in time, or that, FEMA shows up in time. It's so been inculcated to remove any ability to do anything for yourself. And man, I mean, after 100 years of this, it's working like a charm. I think one of my other greatest hits, something I repeat often because I think it's a very pithy, effective thing that maybe people will pick up and share. And it doesn't work the same way. It can work both either ways. But they love to lord over the exploitation of something. So in this case, we're talking about, the internet and tobacco. Do it, do it, do it. Everybody do it. 4 out of 5 doctors smoke Camels. Everybody's doing it. Oh, wait, it's bad. Now we're going to lord over the spigot and control the prohibition and how much fix you're allowed to get anymore. They're doing the opposite with cannabis right now. They lorded over the prohibition, and now they're going to lord over the exploitation and get rich off of that with their crappy state-run stores and databases. The biggest story in Conspiriana right this moment, however, is FEMA director on misinformation, truly dangerous narrative. Grabbing this from Politico, and of course, everything we say is always included in the show notes. FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell said Sunday, misinformation surrounding the agency's funding, and specifically Donald Trump's false claims that money went to undocumented migrants, depleting the money for hurricane relief, is a truly dangerous narrative. It's frankly ridiculous and just plain false. This kind of rhetoric is not helpful to people, Criswell said in an interview with host Clinton operative and Disney employee George Stephanopoulos on ABC's This Week. It's really a shame that we're putting politics ahead of people, and that's what we're here to do. We've had the complete support of the state. We've had the local officials helping to push back on this truly dangerous narrative that's creating this fear of trying to reach out and help us or register to help. Again, they are your saviors, so anything that comes in between those middlemen is a dangerous narrative. They're here to help and save you. The false claims have been pushed by Trump and his running mate, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, who have reiterated that funding for undocumented migrants had led to less money and resources to help Americans with hurricane relief, a claim FEMA and local officials have repeatedly pushed back on. These theories are part of a wide range of increasingly bizarre conspiracy theories circulating online, including one that Helene was a plot to drive out the population for lithium mining, as well as one by Representative Marjorie the Gathering that an unspecified they sent Helene to wipe out Trump voters in the region. Sidebar, if they didn't have abilities to manipulate the weather, why would they sign treaties 70 years ago saying, we won't manipulate the weather? But that's, again, you're crazy if you mention that. Criswell reiterated in the interview that FEMA has all the resources it needs, adding that many of the resources were moved prior to Hurricane Helene hitting the U.S. She said FEMA staff was embedded to work side-by-side with state and local officials to quickly bring those resources to where they were needed and will continue to do that. These continuing efforts come right before another tropical storm predicted to make landfall pretty much right now as we speak in Florida, and they are hyping it up too, man. Think old people like to talk about weather? Conspiracy people like to talk about the weather too, man. Stephanopoulos noted that a lot of these claims are going viral. He pointed to one person online suggesting that a militia should go against FEMA. That was probably Unit 8200 posting that. That post got more than 500,000 views, he said. It has a tremendous impact on the comfort level of our own employees to be able to go out there on the front lines of COVID and, to help out the communities that have been hit by a hurricane in places that get hit by a hurricane all the time. FEMA staff, volunteers, the private sector that are working side by side with local officials that go out and help people. When asked about the impact of these claims online, again, these are your godlike angels of the frontline first responders. Speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, Senator Tom Tillis rejected the idea that the state was not getting the resources it needs because of immigration. We have the resources that we need. We're going to have to go back and pass more resources. We could have a discussion about the failure of this administration's border policies and the billions of dollars it's costing, but right now, not yet is it affecting the flow of resources to North Carolina. North Carolina senator calls conspiracy theories around Helene federal response a distraction, which is also something alternative media will accuse you of being when you're not talking about their pet issue. But there was a drill, as the weird conspiracy site Associated Press reports. Tampa's Phoenix simulation anticipated Category 5 hurricane, and one from Zero Hedge. Did Biden-Harris divert FEMA funds for luxury migrant apartments with flat-screen TVs? James, the one thing I know that is 100% fact, emergency services, to the degree of which they are needed, will not be there to help folks when they need it. Period. It's like Chief Wiggum said, the law is powerless to protect you, but not to punish you. James?
Yep, that's about right. So what's the theme of this episode? Real problems, phony solutions? Yeah, if you're waiting for FEMA to come in and save you. Well, keep on waiting, and wait until you die, apparently. Well, anyway, I haven't been following this story closely from this side of the planet, but I assume you have Media Monarchy contacts or members that are in or near the affected areas. Have you heard anything from them about this?
I've heard and seen screen grabs of text conversations about the weird people that have shown up to city council meetings in Tennessee. I know that North Carolina is looking pretty rough. We do have some members there, and Haven't heard from a few of the members that we have in Florida that are around near the area. I assume, again, they're going to be fine. These things just get so cranked up. And if you've seen this in your life before, other family members who just, they'll stare at the television when they're doing their 24/7 storm freakout coverage. I've seen it in the past before. Even before Trump derangement syndrome had set in, the weather derangement syndrome, I think, had really always affected a lot of people. Again, I know they lie about stuff. I don't know what they're doing up in space. I just know that most of those things don't affect me here on the ground. Hey, they're burning down half my town again. I've got a prescribed burn and we can't even really open our windows and I can't see the sky. I don't see a bunch of news coming to my rescue. And where's alternative media worried about my controlled burns? It's tough, James. I often think of Neil Postman's Amusing Ourselves to Death while also sending love and whatever help could be provided to folks in those situations, man.
This is it. Yeah, for people who are in the situation, yeah, it's a very real problem. But you're right, the amount of attention that is focused on these types of events, even in advance, by the mainstream media, should at least give us some pause for thought about what's going on. And as someone who lives in a highly natural disaster-prone country, I can attest that every single time there is an earthquake or a typhoon or anything in Japan, I will get emails about it. Oh, that was hundreds of miles away. It doesn't affect me. But I understand why people do that. But I will just throw in a little bit of cold water on some of the conversation around this. That's just in passing of note. The most recent editorial by Kit Knightley at off-guardian.org. Careful, talk of weather modification could be a trap. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff swirling around about this, and I'm sure our members will have more to say about it, so I'm looking forward to their response as well.
It's maybe one of those situations where there's nothing to gain from it. Because if you talk about geoengineering and solar radiation management and stratospheric aerosol injection, you're a freaking nutball. But when they bring it up, it's real and it's good. You can't win. You can't win in these conversations anymore. The deck has really been stacked. The thumb is on the scale, as they say. NewWorldNextWeek.com can hook you up with some Korber Report shirts that I am wearing, some Media Monarchy shirts that Korber Report is wearing, and of course DVDs, USB drives, and a ton of other ways, again, to support our work, which, as you may note, has been fear-free and advertising-free for our combined over 30 years now, James. I play the exclusive audio of these episodes. There's usually about, as James has mentioned before, about a 24-hour turnaround. I play the exclusive audio before this video episode is published anywhere, always after my Thursday morning monarchy. It's about 10 a.m. Mountain Time to me here in New Mexico. I would love you to check it out at mediamonarchy.com/listen. And while you're there, maybe cruise by the Join page to support Media Monarchy. As I mentioned some last week, I have now started in earnest my fourth annual Shocktober Surprise Horror Film Festival. I know that immediately eliminates half of the audience. Sci-fi animated weeks all for this week one, and then week two is going to be True Crime Week, and we will feature the one and only James Corbett joining us for a watch-along of The Octopus Murders, the Netflix documentary series. James, the other night we were playing, you've seen Akira, you've seen Ghost in the Shell?
I have, yes.
So it was good. The turnout was pretty good. I was kind of joking with Castbot. It's like, it looks like maybe I should lean into more like Japan anime and video game stuff because the audience goes kaboom.
But the members demand it. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to the Castellero watch along. I hope people will be along for that ride. I'm sure there will be a lot of interesting things to note about that. I haven't seen it myself yet, so I'm looking forward to it.
No, I haven't either. That's, I think, a bit of the good that comes along with these as well, as we've not all seen them before. James, I know one of the things that catches me, if you've even watched some of the trailers for it, and this goes along with, again, people not having any idea what's real and fake. They're watching a hardcore conspiracy documentary and have no idea that this footage is all fake. This is a docudrama. They recreated footage. That's not Danny Casolaro. The pictures we've seen of Danny Casolaro are the pictures we have. They've recreated all this stuff. I mean, I know they've been doing it for decades on TV.
Yeah.
And, you know, Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah. Which, I was going to say, at least Unsolved Mysteries, you can tell that it's fake reenactment footage, right? There's no confusing
but
that.
But now I don't think people can tell. I know. Yeah. I mean, I've watched things in the past and it took me halfway to be like, there's no way they had this footage. There weren't cameras in these people's houses filming this before these events had transpired. So it's tricky out there. And again, that's why I call it Media Monarchy. I hope a lot of what I do might seem like frivolous edutainment, but I think it is a history lesson of what's been done with media. So that is New World Next Week, episode 567. James, appreciate you, buddy.
You think that's hard? Try doing a 5.5-hour documentary on false flags in which you talk about Ali Mohammed a lot, and there's only precisely one video in existence of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Gotta make it more exciting somehow.
Yeah. Media. It's a fun, funny business to be in. All right. Well, anyway, speaking of which, looking forward to doing it again next week. Appreciate what you do. Talk to you again.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.